If I told you I'm going to read you the first reference about the new heaven and the new earth, where would I have you to turn? That's the last reference. Anybody know?
First Peter.
That won't do it. That's next to the last. Try Isaiah 65. Do you remember I told you that it would be profitable if I just read you verses? There was so much to tell you. So what I'll do, God willing, is to preach till 8:30, and then if there are any questions that you have, but I'll try to at least lay before you the truth, and then you'll have to consider these things, and may God give you understanding in all. 65:13. 17. 65:17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered nor come to mind. Was I right? Isaiah 66, verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Notice, he's talking about the Jews. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the dead bodies of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. So all of these things that the Lord gave us in detail and expanded in explaining, he got them from the Word of God that was his portion to study when he was on earth. So now, let's look in Matthew chapter 19. I must read these portions to you because what I've just read to you is evidently the new heavens and the new earth. There's no doubt about that. But I want to read in Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. If you can grasp these terms in your mind, then you will have some idea about the chronology of the program of God. 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. What then shall we have? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now that's plain enough. So let's turn to Acts 3 now. Notice the word regeneration, in the regeneration. That's a certain period. But now, in Acts chapter 3, Peter is preaching again to the Jews, trying to get them to return to the Lord. Verse 18, 3:18 of Acts. But the things which God foreshowed by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that so there may come seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who hath been appointed for you, even Jesus, whom the heavens must receive until the times of the restitution of all things, whereof God spake by the mouth of his holy prophets that had been from of old. Now this times of restoration or restitution, you must look at Matthew 17 now. Matthew 17. If something occurs once, it is vague, but now, in Matthew chapter 17, Peter, James, and John and Christ are coming down at verse 9 from the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus commanded them, saying, "Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead." And his disciples asked him, saying, "Why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come?" And he answered and said, "Elijah indeed cometh, and shall restore all things," and so forth. So this restoration of all things, our Savior has mentioned it, the Jews knew about it, they expected it, and the Lord Jesus that told us in chapter 17, we have Peter telling us about it in Acts chapter 3. It's the same word. Let me tell you this, lest I forget. At times I start to tell you things and then my mind goes in a different drift. But the words restoration and regeneration. The millennium is designated in these two ways. The regeneration, and I'll tell you this now, the word palingenesia is the same word that spiritually refers to those that are born again. It said, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's in Titus 3. That is man being born again, becoming a new creature in Christ Jesus. But the same word is used in Matthew 19 when the Savior says, in the regeneration. And that is when the earth is going to have its change. We are old, we are sinful, and we are regenerated, and the earth also, at the time of the millennium, is going to be regenerated. So keep that in mind. I wish I could stop there and say, that is the end. When the restoration, when the regeneration, when the millennium comes, that's the end. But it isn't the end. So now, let's turn to Revelation 21. And I wonder if you can draw out your extension span while I read you the chapter 21 and then 5 verses of 22. You say, why? Because this is essential. This is what we've been reading about in Matthew 19 and in Acts 3, but not in the portion in Isaiah. Now we're going to read about the portion in Isaiah. And this is what makes things difficult. But let me read about it now. There's no doubt that what we're reading in Revelation 21 is what we read about in Isaiah 65 and 6. So listen, plan to have all this chapter read to you. Revelation 21:1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and the sea is no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. Because the tabernacle means the dwelling place. The dwelling place of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them. This is the same word as in John 1:14. The word became flesh and tabernacled, dwelt among us. So it says, the dwelling place of God is with men. When? When the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem come down from heaven. Keep that in mind. Now, and they shall be his peoples, and I read it correctly, peoples. Most of the time, you read about the people of God, and that will be Israel. There is one exception, at least. But here it says, they shall be his peoples, What does it mean? It's not that God is just the God of the Jews, but he is the God of the Gentiles as well. He is the God of the peoples, the Gentiles. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Now notice these explanatory phrases. Death shall be no more. Then that puts us at a particular time in the history of the earth. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. The first things are passed away. And he that sitteth on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he saith, Write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said unto me, They are come to pass. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But for the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, and there came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls, who were laden with the seven last plagues, and he spake with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. So please notice, grasp this. He said, I'm going to show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And what did he show him? He showed him the holy city. Please understand that at times when it says the whole city came out to listen to Paul, the city at times is used for the inhabitants of the city. So the bride here, it's called the city. Just like Christ's people are called a bride, they are called a building as well. They're called a temple. So here, the wife, the bride of Christ, is called this new Jerusalem, this city coming down out of heaven. Now, look at verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like unto a stone most precious, as it were a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Let me explain this. Nobody knows what a jasper stone is. In the Old and New Testament, they are not sure what it is. But it doesn't matter what it is, because it tells us the significance of it. It says, this jasper stone is as clear as crystal. So this stone has clarity. It's clear. Having a wall great and high, having 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east were 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that spake with me had for a measure a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. So it's not a dream. It's not an imagination. You do not measure a dream. How long, how wide is this dream? Here, it's a real place that can be measured. Verse 16, And the city lieth foursquare, and the length thereof is as great as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. A furlong is 220 yards. And when you multiply all the dimensions, you find out that this holy city is 1,500 miles in every direction. Keep that in mind. The wall of the city is 216 feet high. So this is the measurement. But let me interject this now. It is not the dimension that is emphasized here, but notice that it says the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And when it speaks here about the dimension of the city, 12,000 furlongs. And how much is 12 times 12? Exactly. And so, what is the number here? 144. It's 12 that is prominent. I've given you the dimensions, but the dimensions all have to do with the number 12. Verse 17. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits. Again, 12 by 12. According to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. So we have an angel measuring it with a golden reed, but it's the measurement of a man, even though an angel is measuring it. And the building of the wall was jasper. Now, what is jasper? It's a stone that is as clear as crystal. So the wall thereof was jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto pure glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates at them, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the several gates was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb are the temple thereof. And the city hath no need of sun, neither of the moon to shine upon it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the lamp thereof is the Lamb. And the nations shall walk amidst the light thereof. And the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. And the gates thereof shall in no wise be shut by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything unclean, or he that maketh an abomination and a lie, but only they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street thereof. And on this side of the river and on that was the tree of life, bearing 12 manner of fruits, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no curse any more. And the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be therein. And his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be night no more. And they need no light of lamp, neither light of sun, for the Lord God shall give them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Just a brief word of prayer. Father, we are thankful for these things that we've read. We pray that by thy Spirit we may understand them. Our God, you have great plans for those that belong to you. You have plans for those that will not have your Son as Savior as well, but you have great plans for us who have trusted in this Savior. So we pray that as we've read and briefly explained some of these things, that our God, we shall have understanding already, and that we shall have more as we proceed. So bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right. You must understand this, the periods of time. We are living right now, as it says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil, and the word is age, aeon. This present evil age. Christ speaks about those that blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. They have neither forgiveness in this age nor in the age to come. So we are living in this present evil age. When and how shall it end? You find that in Matthew chapter 13, when our Savior spoke the parable of the wheat and the tares, he gave the explanation. I'm so thankful for that. Even when he gives the explanation, people that are trying to explain the explanation will confuse you again. But the Lord Jesus, when he's asked for an explanation, says this. He says, the wheat are the sons of the kingdom, the tares are the sons of the evil one. It says, the harvest is the consummation of the age. What is this present age? I told you in Galatians 1:4. What is the harvest? The end of this present age is the harvest. And how does it end? It says, the Lord Jesus will send forth his angels and gather out of his kingdom all things that cause stumbling and them that do iniquity. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. So please notice that this age continues until the harvest, and the harvest, when it comes, the Lord Jesus sends forth his angels, and the wheat and the tares are separated from one another, and the tares are gathered into bundles to burn, and this is the end of the age. All right. After that age, what do we have? That is what we have in Revelation chapter 20. You have, after this age and its ending, just at the end of it, for some 7 years, the tribulation period. But at the end of that tribulation period, you'll find that the Lord Jesus is going to come back and destroy the beast and the false prophet, going to cast them alive into the lake of fire, and then is when the millennial kingdom shall begin. So we are up to there. After the 1,000 years, the millennial kingdom, after that 1,000 years, Satan, who has been bound in the abyss, it says he's going to be loosed for a little season. And after he's loosed for that little season, he is destroyed, and then we may read this. Please turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. After that period of Satan's loosing and destruction, after the millennium, this is what it says in 2 Peter chapter 3. In brief, verse 7, but the heavens that now are and the earth by the same word have been stored up for fire, being reserved unto against the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing that these things are thus all to be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of, now this is a unique term, the day of God. This is the beginning of eternity. The day of God, by reason of which the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So the day of God begins after the universe is with fire, done what God wants to do with it, and then it says, after that's done, we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So these are the things that are going to happen. Now I wish that I could tell you with certainty, when we read the book of Revelation, when we are reading about the millennium, and when we are reading about the new heavens and the new earth, the day of God. If you take it as we read it in 2 Peter 3, it says that the heavens, everything is going to be burnt up with fire, and it said, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Well, you say, that's when it is. It's when this conflagration takes place and everything that we know as we've known it, it's burned up, it's changed, and God says, new heavens, a new earth. That is it. That's fine. But what is so difficult is that when you read the book of Revelation, you do not know for certain when you're reading about millennial scene or the day of God, the new heavens and the new earth. That is what is so difficult. And you see spiritual, wise men telling you that parts of Revelation are the millennium, and others will say that part of the book of Revelation is the new heaven and the new earth. It is eternity. The reason is this. They are so similar that the day of God, the new heavens and new earth, are simply an advance upon what takes place during the millennium as it's set forth in Revelation chapter 20. For this reason, here is one way that you can tell that we are not in the millennium, but we're in the day of God. Turn back now to Isaiah. I want you to see these. Isaiah chapter 65. Now it speaks about the new heavens and a new earth, but it says in verse 19, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and there shall be heard in her no more the voice of weeping and the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, and the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. So if people are dying and then people are still accursed, where are we? Yes. Exactly. Do you understand? This is definite. We know there. But there are so many things that are like the eternal day of God, the new heavens and the new earth, in the millennium, that you're not always sure. But turn back now and I'll try to give you a little more information from Revelation chapter 21. Here is the first thing I want you to understand, that what we are reading about here, we are reading about something that is literal, that is a place, that is measurable, and I take it that all of these things that describe it, such as the metal of which it's made, such as the precious stones with which it's adorned, I take them to be literal. You say, who ever heard of such a thing? Who ever heard of a pearl that's so big, why, only God could do something like that? Let me ask you. When Jonah was swallowed by a great fish, was it an existing fish, or was it one that God prepared? Of course he did. There wasn't one that big. And they're trying to figure, what do we have on earth? God prepared it. The gourd, the worm. These things were specially prepared of God. And I suppose if God can make a fish big enough to swallow Jonah and keep him in his belly 3 days and three nights, I suppose that the same God who made Jupiter and who made the suns and this universe, I suppose he could make a pearl big enough to be the size of a gate, don't you? You say, why, it's elementary now. Why, of course. And this is something special that God has done. Now, here's what you don't realize. When Solomon's temple was built, how much gold had David gathered up to be used in the building of that temple? Does anybody have any idea? Now, don't faint. 12 million pounds. You say, how can that be? A talent is 120 pounds. Silver, 96 pounds. That's the talent. And when you multiply the 100 talents and you multiply that times 120, then you get 12 million pounds of gold. You'll figure it out later. You say, I didn't know there was that much gold in the world. Neither did I. But that is what it says. And it is so staggering that those that interpret the Bible, they know what a talent weighs of gold and a talent weighs of silver. They say, this must be some other way of looking at it. Indeed, it must. But if this temple on earth had millions of pounds of gold, is it strange that God's new heaven and new earth, the holy city, should have millions of pounds of gold? You say it becomes elementary. Of course it does. The God who prepared this earth the way he did, who prepared the universe, if David could gather this much gold to build an earthly temple, I suppose God could bring into existence enough gold to make the New Jerusalem of pure gold and find stones that were large. And so this is something specially made of God. Now, while I tell you, I take each descriptive stone and metal to be literal. They are in like manner figurative. They are literal, but they have a spiritual significance. When we come and break bread Lord's Day morning, do we have literal bread? Do we have literal fruit of the vine? Does it have a spiritual significance? Well, what is it, literal or spiritual? You say both. It's just that simple. And so in like manner, just as you have the number 12 appearing again and again, it's like this. You find that on the table of showbread, there are 12 loaves. What do you think those 12 loaves might represent in the Old Testament? What? Of course, the 12 tribes of Israel. And you have the number 12 here. How many sons did Jacob have? How many apostles were there? 12. You say, that's why you have the number 12 so much. It is government. It is administration. You find a complete number of those chosen by Christ is 12. And those 12 sons of Jacob. 12 is that number of governmental administration. And so here is what God is telling us. And then if he doesn't give us the number 12, he gives us the number 12 by 12. Now let me ask you this. What was the dimension of the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle of Moses? It was 15 by 15 by 15. It was a cube. And here you have 1,500 miles. The Holy of Holies was a cube. You read in the temple, the Holy of Holies is still a cube, though much longer. The holy city, the New Jerusalem, is a what? It's a cube. God has told you for the third time. I read you last week, and I did feel sorry for you when I was pouring out so much information, but having heard it once and now hearing it again, if you'll study it more and more, then you can understand. So what God is doing is showing us first in the tabernacle, a cube, then in the temple, a cube, and now those two cubes ultimately pointed to what? This new city, the Holy Jerusalem. This is the final cube that God made. And that is why when Moses was making the tabernacle, God said, make it according to the pattern that I gave you. Why? Because the things that they were making physically, they were physical, material, but they had a spiritual significance. And this is why the tabernacle and the temple, and now Revelation 21, they are literal, but at the same time, they have a spiritual significance. Remember this, that when it says, I'm going to show you the holy city, the new Jerusalem, and he showed him the bride, it is that all the characteristics of this city are those characteristics of the bride. The one is another. And so here, when the holy city comes down, this is what is so remarkable. We're talking about heaven, but here it says, this holy city, the new Jerusalem, comes down out of heaven from God. So you say it comes down out of heaven. Well then, where is heaven? Well, if you study it, you'll find that this cube, this new Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven, is going to settle in a place that God has prepared upon the earth. There's some that would fight that and say, no, it's over the earth. You read it and you'll find that a 1,500 mile cube in every direction is going to come down and rest upon the earth. Let me show you what will happen when it does. Look in chapter 21 again. 21. Verse 24. And the nations shall walk in the midst of the light thereof, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it, and the gates thereof shall in no wise be shut by day, for there shall be no night there. 26. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. Here is this new Jerusalem. It is now upon earth, and this place you have on earth nations and kings. You have things as God intended them to be, and they're going to be that way in eternity. You see, what man would like to think is that everything's going to melt with fervent heat, and then we're not going to have anything like this. God intended earth in the first place to be the habitation of man. He had no intention of sin coming into it, but sin did come into it. But now he has created new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And now on that new earth, as for 1,000 years in the millennial earth, now in the new heavens and the new earth where no sin is, where Satan is done away, where all evil ones are gone, man shall live upon this new heaven and this new earth. Now, I want you to see this. What is so interesting? We've been talking about it, and finally, whatever we might not know about where we went in the past, other than we go into the unseen realm, the place of departed spirits, that Tom tricked me into telling a little bit about heaven. He said, where do we go when we die? To be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. To depart and be with Christ, which is far better. So whatever it was in the past, when we die now, even though we are disembodied spirits, we go to be with our Lord. So think now. Now if we die, we go to be with the Lord in heaven, where he is. But at the end, God, who is in heaven, is going to leave heaven and come down to earth and be with us. A remarkable thing, isn't it? I'll show you again. Please notice chapter 21 of Revelation, and it says in verse 3, I heard a great voice out of the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his peoples, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And this holy city, the New Jerusalem, came down out of heaven, and who came down with it? Who? Of course he did. So we were worried about going to heaven and being with God. God says, now that you are here with me, what I'm going to do is to create new heavens and new earth, and they are going down to earth, and I'm going to leave heaven as we know it, and I'm going to dwell there with you. Isn't that a remarkable thing? So these are some of the truths concerning all these different areas that I've been telling you about things to come. Now, time is gone. Let's have a word of prayer, and then it's your time. I may ask you another question or two. Father, we thank thee for the great things you have in store for the children of God. Let us know that men talk about how unpredictable and how uncertain the future is. Our God, we've seen tonight how very certain it is for those that are lost and those that are saved. Our God, let us know that if it in our hearts we have just thought that someday we'll go to heaven and be with the Lord and that's the end of it, that's sufficient. We'll be with you. But our Father, you've told us that having been with you in heaven as disembodied spirits, in a coming day we are going to have our glorified bodies, and we're going to be like unto that holy city, and it's coming down to the new earth, and you're going to come down with it, and you're going to have your dwelling among men, and you shall dwell with them there. Our Father, what great things you have in store for us. So bless these truths to our hearts, and let these dear ones here think on them and consider them and see the truth of God's word. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right. Any question now about heaven or hell? And if you don't have one, that is fine.
I got one.
Yes?
Now, right there at the end, John, in this description, it says in 22:15, For without our dogs, the sorcerers, the whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, whosoever loveth, made it a lie. And that's reference to the gates that are upon the earth. So then you have this new heaven and new earth, new Jerusalem with great walls going up, surrounding a city that is infinitely, ever so much higher than
the
walls themselves. And then on this earth, this new heaven and new earth, are these wicked ones.
No, not on earth. There's not one wicked one on earth. It says they were all cast where?
Yeah, but
into the lake of fire.
Right, but where are these whoremongers and murderers? And
without.
Without.
But yes.
Without the gate.
Without. Where does it say without the gate?
Yes, blessed are they that do stand and enter through the gate into the city.
Yes.
For without are dogs and sorcerers.
Of course they are. And without, because there's a new heaven and a new earth, and there's not one tear, there's not one wicked person in existence on the earth. They're all cast with death and hell into the lake of fire.
So,
when it says without, it's just without. So,
I understand. So it's not implying that they're staying and they are literally on this ground, because there are people that are coming in and out.
Yes.
Into those gates, and they have to be the right people.
Of course it
so
does. The only ones who get in are the ones whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Anything else? Yes, Tom.
In this, 2 Peter 3, when it talks about earth being burned up.
Yes.
So, is it your understanding that God will totally destroy the earth and make a new one? Is that what that means? Or where the
Well, let me ask you this. If by fire he purges out everything unclean and we have the same earth, it's a new earth, or if he melts it and makes a new earth, we still have a new earth, which one do you want? Would you be satisfied with both? I would too. I would too. And so whatever God has in mind, there are so many who will say this is the word They are two words for new, kainos and naos. And so it's immaterial. He's going to make new heavens and new earth, and whatever is to be done by fire, do you see? And there are fine men that say, yes, he's going to make it new, but he's not going to completely destroy it. He's just going to renew it and purify it. And others say, no, he's going to melt it completely and mold it again with his fingers. So it makes no difference to me. I'm going to be on a new, there's going to be a new heaven, I'm going to be on a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And so I don't know. And it makes no difference. Just so it's there, and who's going to be dwelling with me there? God. So, and it says, I shall see his face. So if I'm with God on a new earth, and I can see his face, and I can worship him, and there's no temple therein, because we don't need symbols anymore. Why? We've got the reality there. And so all of these things are fine, even though we don't understand them. And God has told us so much, and I wearied you last Lord's Day evening telling you facts and facts. But now they're coming together, and with everything we know, we still cannot say with absolute certainty except this. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and righteousness dwells therein, and they're going to be men on earth. And I'll just tell you, in Luke chapter 1, it says, of Christ's kingdom there shall be no end. And there's not going to be any end. How long will it continue? Forever. The introduction of that kingdom is 1,000 years. But after that 1,000 years, there's going to be that little season, that little time, when Satan is loosed from the abyss, and he's going to be destroyed, and then new heavens and a new earth purged with fire, and then the day of God, eternity begins. And no more temptation, because there's no more sin, there's no more tempter. So thank God, all will be well then. Anything else? Yes.
Another thing, Joseph, with regards to the flood, the God said, I'll destroy the animals with the earth.
Yes.
And we know that he didn't destroy the physical aspect of the earth. It was still there. But everything was destroyed.
Exactly. So, and that's what some are saying. Earth. Yes.
But it wasn't a completely new earth in one sense.
Right. So don't worry. Any way that it's going to be,